See, they didn't want to expose their kids to the mosquitoes or to the hot weather, to the chiggers and the ticks that went along with it. But they would wait till winter, and the house would be cold, and the kids would get sick, and they'd have to get out in the snow and cut their wood.
Oh.
I called it grasshoppering around. Now, you know, and to explain what I mean, when I was a child, I was a, I was observing in a lot of things, and these grasshoppers, these grasshoppers just jump around, have the biggest time in the world during the early, late spring and summer and late and early fall. But they finally run into a barbed wire fence, and there they lodge for the winter. They die. They hit a barbed wire fence, great big old grasshopper, and you'll find him there during the winter.
Oh.
And he, all he done is just hop around all summer.
Uh-huh.
And I called it grasshoppering around.
Oh, that's...
They just wouldn't do nothing but just hop around until it's too late. Well, my dad has loaned people wood during the winters, during the winter of 1917.
I remember reading about that winter.
The snow was extremely deep. All winter long we had snow. And we had to loan wood to our neighbors. They'd come on those mud boats. Get the, we had all of our lane full of logs. My dad, as I said, was a timber man. And if he had some logs that they'd cut into these trees and maybe they'd be holler, well, he'd have my me or my brother. But this happened to be before the time that I could drive a team, but he'd have his hard hands to haul these logs up and unload them in the lane. And all winter long, as I said, while we was resting, we'd be cutting wood. And we'd sell wood, and it kept us exercised. But he'd always let us go hunting. We'd just do that for because we had all day long, and he'd cut that wood. But these people would come borrow that wood, and I don't never remember but one man paying back any wood.
Oh, really?
And he only paid back load for load. They would come there and agree, we'll cut you two loads of wood next summer, but you let us have one load now.
Oh, I see.
And he'd let them have it.
And he'd let them have it.
Because why, he'd give it to them because their family was cold and needed the wood, and and they were good people, but they didn't think.
But they didn't.
Ne'er do well.
I think Louise said your breakfast is ready.
Well, if you
didn't everything, I was... Oh, I was going over it and underlining some of the stuff. I was really surprised about this, you know, where it said finally it was decided.
And that got even worse than I put there.
Oh, really? And if they refused, now they, you would tell them to halt, they'd have to halt.
They'd have to halt or get shot.
And they'd have to identify.
That's right. It's kind of, it was going to be kind of like a vigilante committee. That the people were going to organize. And they was going to put signs up at everywhere that after a certain date, if more than one or two or three people is more than two, or anyone had to identify themselves, or get ready to start shooting back. For instance, I didn't put everything in there, and I don't know if I mentioned what I'm going to tell or not. The fellow that was the captain. Now, I shook hands with one of his boys in Jonesboro the other day. See, that's what I mean by being close around. They lived right down below us, and he couldn't read nor write. But he got scared up, and he come to my dad, and my dad was working on it all the time trying to find out who it was. And he came to my dad and said, I want to tell you who these night riders are. Then, he did. He told who a few of them was and said he was one of them. Well, he went back home, and that night they began to suspect him, the other fellow. So they got liquored up. These men, if they'd been sober, wouldn't have done that, but they got liquored up on that white mule and whiskey.
White mule?
White mule whiskey.
Oh,
White lightning, they called it.